has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the May 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Let me spin the dial here. Let's see. Up, down, up, down. Yesterday was up. Today is down. It was up, what, 600 yesterday or something like that on the Dow. My last message of the day to our clients and subscribers was I wouldn't, you know, put too much weight into the big update we had on Monday, because tomorrow we could easily give all of that back up. Well, right now the Dow is down 222, 247, call it. We're not giving it all back up, but quite a big chunk. We haven't mentioned the NASDAQ yet. The Dow sits now at 31,654. And the NASDAQ is basically, yesterday the NASDAQ was up 181. It's giving up double that. The NASDAQ is down 367 points, and I suppose you could snap your fingers to explain that. It's all pretty much snap, which has had just a devastating report that is spreading to the rest of the NASDAQ. The small caps are down 1.7%. Thank goodness for the inverse ETFs today, Barry. The S&P 500 is down 67. That's 1.7%. And guess what? Crude oil just keeps on marching ahead. If you're invested in oil stocks, you're happy about that. If you're a fishing guide that takes people 50 miles offshore in your boat every day, like some people I know, you're not happy about that. Neither are the fishermen. Gold is up $17, catching a bid, $1,864, and there is a flight to safety today that's driving interest rates down 9 basis points, 2.77, and Bitcoin continues to get trashed, down $1,200 to $28,979. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. Best Inverse Funds Now show, and we have several of them to talk about today. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, professional money manager, analyst for the last 23 years. Hopefully I can bring a little bit of insight to the table here today. And I've got Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, that definitely has the chops to bring a lot to the table here today. The Dow was up 618 yesterday. The only real catalyst I could see was J.P. Morgan kind of saying, hey, we're going to make a lot on interest income this year. Well, that's just that's just earnings on money that's just sitting there. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. But the Dow took off. The financials took off. The tech stocks took off. The Dow was up 618 yesterday. The S&P was up 72 yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 181. And I warned at the end of the day, I said, you know, in this volatile market, I wouldn't get too excited about today's big move in the market. And, of course, here we are today, Tuesday, and the NASDAQ's down almost 400 points. Almost 400 points right now, and we're going to blame it on a social media stock that has just been a terrible stock to own. They never really monetized the stock, the platform correctly. I think they're probably losing users. I don't know. I've never used it myself, but the name of the stock is Snap. Snap right now is down 39%. Now, that is bringing down other digital advertisers. The Trade Desk is down 19.2%. Pinterest is down 22%. I wouldn't want to be in those social media stocks. There are some ETFs that just focus on social media. And, Roku's down 13%. What were we saying about Roku yesterday, right. Barry?
Yeah. Well, I think it was Kathy's number one.
Oh my
stock
gosh!
Now behind, finally took over for Tesla. But yeah, of course, not a great report from Snap, but I really think, you know, a lot of it has to do with those. I mean, it's still those names that are, you know, very, very high PE ratios, not much, you know, a lot of execution risk still. If they don't hit, you know, if they don't hit their earnings where they're supposed to be or consensus, I mean, it's a bloodbath.
You've got a
small margin of error there.
No. Period. And then, you know, just to kind of add on to the retail woes of last week between Walmart, TJ Maxx, and Ross Stores, today Abercrombie and Fitch is the big retail loser. Abercrombie and Fitch, last time I looked, is down 25%. That seems to be kind of the you lose one-fourth of your value, like Target lost on Thursday,
same,
like Ross Stores.
Very similar issues. Sounded,
yep.
You know, almost the same playbook there in terms of their, you know, their report. And, I mean, it's just more of the same in those two areas, I think.
Yeah. Now, the latest on oil and gas prices, I don't see much hope there. I mean, the latest from President Biden was, well, we're in this big transition to green energy. Well, I agree with that. But, you know, that's like saying there's no bridge to get to the other side. What are we going to all do? Just drown, you know, in the sea of
gas? Well, you're
going to
walk across the bridge. I guess you're going to walk across the bridge.
I guess. I mean, you've got to have a bridge, like a 10-year bridge or whatever. And, again, I mean, you're not going to see jetliners, and you're not going to see these big ships pulling into our ports and aircraft carriers and whatnot running on wind, and at least I don't think that's the case. Anyways, so you saw a little bargain hunting yesterday, and then you got a slap in the face with cold water this morning, coming really from Snap. Okay, Snap was down 52% year to date before this announcement. Ouch. Wow. Anyways, we've never owned Snap that I can remember, but that stock is absolutely getting clobbered here today. We're going to have a talk from Jerome Powell at midday. That's always exciting. Maybe he can help push this market back up a little bit.
He's been okay the last two times, I think. I think he's two for two lately.
He has smoothed the markets out. Can he do three in a row? I don't know. We've got the market's been down 7 weeks in a row. Can we turn that around? Snap's collapsing growth rate is shocking, says the Jefferies analyst. Man, I remember when they went public, that thing was like a $50 billion market cap company or something like that, and all the kids were on Snapchat and whatnot. That thing, look at that chart. That is just ugly. It's now a $22 billion company. I don't think it's worth that myself.
I mean,
it's traded 85 million shares.
I mean, it looks like 2,000 in some of those. I mean, some of those names. I mean, you go to some of these high-flying tech names. I mean, and it's not much different than, as you've mentioned, it's not much different than
the
dot-com bubble.
They all look the same, whether it's Teladoc or Roku or Snap. And, of course, Snap. They made money 1 year, and that was probably because they sold the building or something like that. They're going to lose 46 cents this year. They're going to lose 2 cents next year. They've never made a profit since they went public, and their earnings were up 38% in this latest quarter. But they were running at sales were up. They've been running at triple-digit sales growth, and now all of a sudden 38% and declining quickly. That's not a good story at all. And here's the problem. Okay, who was it? One of the big KeyBank. They said they may just be the canary in the coal mine. You know, you got to look around at the other companies like Snap, which Google, Facebook, the Trade Desk, Roku, Pinterest, Twitter. They could all be facing these same issues that Snap is facing. So, anyways, that's not a good space to be invested in. It's gotten cheaper. The multiples have come down. But, man, I'll tell you what, they are having all. Now, Snap's problems, Barry, you can't blame that on inflation or gas prices. What's the problem with Snap?
Yeah, I mean it's. That's lack of earnings. It's the fact that you've got that they have some specific execution risk. They haven't. They still haven't executed against when
do
Apple
your kids use Snap?
They're still a little young for that one. The 15-year-old does. Yeah,
Didn't they all move over to the other ones? What's the one from China?
Oh, TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah, we don't have the TikTok.
What about Instagram? Has it taken a lot of market share from Snap?
Yeah, I mean they're both around the same, and I'm not a huge social media person, but yeah, in terms of 15-year-old, Instagram and Snap, and that's probably about it at this point.
Okay, well, when we come back, we got to take a look at what is up today. There's some big movers on the upside today, and we own several of them. We're happy about that because that's helping us out a lot today. And then we always, as usual, we've got to check in on Tesla real quickly to see how it's been doing. A lot of... Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Believe it or not, ARK is down another 7.1% today. It's now broken below $40 per share. It was at $159 per share. It's now down 75% from its high. You know, look, a lot of people questioned me warning about ARK. A long time ago, I said, I've seen this play before. I saw it in the year 2000. I saw several stars rise up, and they were the poster childs of the following dot-com crash and bubble. I feel like I'm a watchman on the watchtower here. I've seen a lot in my days, and if I see something out there where I think people are going to lose a lot of money, I say the same thing about Bitcoin, and I've done it for quite some time. I'm going to warn you, but I never saw such reckless buying as I saw back, in the early last year. And, if you listen to me, this thing's down 75% now. And Sark, on the other hand, which we wrote up an article about, is continuing to soar. What else is soaring today, all right? We've got Webs. That is inverse the social media stocks. It's up 14.3%. We've got Fanged. That is inverse the Fang stocks. It's up 12%. We've got Yang. That's inverse the Chinese stocks. They're getting clobbered today. That thing's up 9.3%. We've got LABD, which is inverse the biotech stocks. There's a sector with no E, no earnings. It's up 9% today. Sox, it's up 7.2. It's inverse the semiconductors. The SQQQ is up over 7%. It's inverse the NASDAQ, and it's also leveraged. So there's the casualties today, and there's what's doing well on the upside. And we've talked a lot, probably more than any show out there, if you can find a show that talks more about inverse funds and how to use them during bad times, you tell me about it. Most of the shows are just permabulls or their asset allocation, index investors, that kind of thing. All right, well, the next one I want to talk about is Abercrombie & Fitch. I just want to add a little color here. Where does we heard this before? Okay, they had record sales. No problem on the sales, okay? Where's the problem? Well, it was on the bottom line. And where's the problem in the bottom line? Here's what CEO Fran Horowitz said. This, our eighth consecutive quarter of AUR improvement was more than offset by higher than expected freight and product cost. Well, those are your two costs as a retailer. I mean, you have overhead, yes, advertising, management, rent on your stores, etc. But what's killing them right now are these direct costs. They're paying more for their products, that is on their shelf. We heard the same thing from Walmart last week. We heard the same thing from Target. We heard the same thing from Ross Stores on Friday. Now it's Abercrombie and Fitch. And freight. Freight is a big problem, Barry. Have you checked the price of diesel lately? Oh, maybe we lost.
Yeah,
Barry.
No.
Oh, there
no,
he is.
I mean, yeah, diesel. It's crazy. I was reading some information too, and just in regards to you were talking about refining in the first segment, and there's no. I mean, there's virtually no refining capacity.
No.
We've either offshored those refiners, they've shuttered those refiners, and so regardless of what. A barrel of oil cost, right? Refining the product and turning it into actual usable gasoline or diesel fuel is there's just not any, there's not any extra capacity.
And I read that our levels of diesel supply here in America are at the lowest they've been in decades. Most of it was offshore, the refining to China. Here's my problem, all right? So, yes, I agree, the planet and all this and that, but doesn't refining it in China hurt the planet just as much as refining it wherever we were from?
Refining it's just not attached
Long
to
Beach.
Your, yeah, it's not attached to your country, and that's the only, I mean, that's where it's like you're, you got a scoreboard, right, and you basically just moved one score over to a different, a different country versus your own.
I heard a lot of truckers grumbling. On our recent trip to Atlanta about the cost of fuel and beef jerky. Let's not forget that. But anyways, they say, look, here's what Abercrombie & Fitch says. Looking forward, we expect higher costs to remain a headwind through at least year end. Okay, believe it or not, I'm working on an article, Barry. I got up very early this morning.
You had enough time?
We've been so busy lately, but I'm going to get back into the habit and try to punch out an article a week. We're ranked in the top 2% out of 10,000 different writers on Seeking Alpha. I feel like, you know what? They need to hear from us more often. So I'm going to do my best. And I'm making the point in the article, which hopefully I'll be done with here this morning and then submit it to Seeking Alpha. I'm making the point that we made on the show yesterday. The current earnings estimates for the S&P 500 are too high. Okay, this is the first time I've said this in probably 12 or 13 years. In the past, they've been too low because companies sandbag, analysts tend to be on the conservative side, and quarter after quarter after quarter, 80% of the companies have been coming in and easily beating their earnings guidance. Well, this quarter was going pretty well. I was saying, hey, earnings season's doing just fine. Earnings are not the problem. It's the multiple that's the problem. But then as we got towards the tail end of earnings season, which reflects more today where we're at than where we were 3 months ago, we got Walmart, we got Target, we got Ross Stores. Today we get Abercrombie and Fitch. And now all of a sudden they're singing the blues that, earlier on in the earnings season, we were not hearing that. So obviously we have taken a turn for the worse during this current quarter, and those estimates have got to come down. And they're sticky. I mean, it takes a long time for the consensus estimate to come down. It doesn't take very long for our estimate to come down, Barry. We can do it immediately, and I just adjusted my numbers on a lot of the retail stocks, especially.
Yeah, we're a bit more nimble than the
Titanics
of Wall Street.
The Titanics are right. They still have a consensus target price on the S&P 500 of 5,200. Now, that's absolutely insanity, all right? That means a lot of them have not gone public on lowering their estimates or sending in lower estimates. So anyways, I believe the estimates now for the first time in 12 or 13 years are too high. They need to come down. We're taking ours down. We're way ahead of the curve. We were way ahead of the curve on the way up when they were too low. Now we're way ahead of the curve. So now you got a double whammy. Not only are the estimates too high, the multiple has come down from 23 to 17. Maybe it's going to settle in here. But, I mean, there's a brand new target price out there. There's a new sheriff in town. It'll be in my article this week. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gutterson, Barry Keis, the Best Stocks Now Show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just a bloodbath in the NASDAQ right now, down 390. And we have an inverse position. We have several inverse positions, one that targets the NASDAQ specifically. And the NASDAQ, I think you can pretty much blame on Snap. Snap has really, really hit the NASDAQ hard here today. Now, let's go to the other side of the street for a moment, which we kind of do in the second half of the show. Did you see the action in the energy stocks yesterday, Barry? It was like, wow, it was hot and heavy and furious.
Yeah.
To the upside.
Well, I've seen a lot more projections lately just in terms of where oil could get to, right? I mean, we keep talking about, you know, are we maxed out in terms of the price of a barrel, but you know, they're talking about some price targets of Brent getting to 130. Of course, that's going to, you know, usually put putting our crude at around, 125 or so. For a little while lately, actually.
We hit 130, crude, I think, at one point recently.
And crude here was actually actually trading higher than Brent for a period of time. I don't know if it is right at the moment. But talking about the other side, moving from the metaverse and social media side over to, real life, home builders, home sales dropped 17% in April.
That's no surprise to me.
Huge piece of it. Yeah.
Who can afford 5.5% now? That takes a lot of people out of the market. And you have record high prices on homes. So that's got to adjust at some point in time. And this oil and gas thing. Well, okay, so now let's look today. Albemarle, which we've been talking about recently, hikes full-year earnings. Sales guidance well above estimates. What does Albemarle do? Well, they're in the lithium business for one, but they're also, a chemical stock, and the chemical stocks are part – they kind of move in tandem with the energy, with the oil and gas, the natural gas stocks. Albemarle makes polymer additives, catalysts, fine chemicals for the refining industry. So they're in a sweet spot, and they're pretty big in lithium. And Albemarle, it would be up today, but it is down just a hair, down 0.75%. But, there's two sides of this street, okay? The traditional side, the tech, the financials, the consumer stocks, that's the wrong side of the street. There's one big area of the market, there's one asset class that continues to dominate the markets, and that is commodities. And when you look at the rankings of the asset classes in the Best Stocks Now app, you'll see that commodities have been at the top of those 33 asset classes for quite some time. And the number two right now would be inverse ETFs on a lot of this stuff that is so weak and been weak for a long time. Okay, Bank of America, let's see what they've got to say. They're out. Their outlook reflects weaker growth and higher inflation for 2023. Let's see if did they put out a target price. Let's see. B of A now expects the economy to grow by 1.5% this year. They predict inflation to end the year at 3.03%. Well, they're not putting out, but I think the last time I saw Bank of America is one of the companies that is actually a lot closer to being right on the earnings forecast than the other. I think they were at 4,200 or something like that with their target price, somewhere around there.
And they changed it, I don't know what, in the last, I feel like you mentioned it in the last week or last couple of weeks that they,
yeah.
That they kind of lowered it to that particular number.
Yeah, they've been coming down steadily, and so has Goldman Sachs. So their macro desk are a little more lively and awake than most of the macro desk out there across America. And then there's always the counter argument. Here's loothole groups as the bear market could end what before we know it, just like that. Well, okay, they're going off technical analysis. Now, here's another one that kind of plays into this kind of new theme that we've got going, that the S&P 500 estimates are way too high. Jefferies is cutting their price targets on a lot of the members of the S&P 500. Oh, Microsoft, Oracle, VMware. And, you know, they're not just cutting it by a little bit. Listen to this. They're cutting Splunk from 160 down to 125. They're way behind the curve, obviously. They're cutting Altasian, which is Team, from 275 down to 180. Where have they been all this time? They're cutting Adobe from 570 to 550. That's not too bad. Snowflake from 230 to 150. Datadog from 170 to 125. That's a big hit. And then let's see, Salesforce from 330 down to 260. What else? VMware, big cut there also. So these are massive. You know, I call these after the fact price cuts. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Okay, the stock's been going down for months.
Wasn't forward looking.
They never lowered their target price. See, I was in the analyst community. I know how they work. A lot of them are so bureaucratic and so asleep at the wheel. It's just amazing that anything gets done at some of those big firms.
Well, when they don't want to cut, I mean, they don't want to cut a, you know, take company A, right? They don't want to cut the price target for A because then A will quit, you know, quit being as nice with their information to them.
Yeah, so there's definitely a, you know, a problem there. And then, of course, on the way up, as these stocks go up, they keep raising their target price. So they really follow. They're behind the stock than out in front of the stock. Okay, here's another big issue. The future, you know, they're meeting in Davos this week. I watched some of the, I watched the opening presentation last night by Heinz, I can't think of his name, Schwab. And, you know, this whole globalization is kind of coming into question now. Yeah, it's nice that you know, we're using China to refine our diesel fuel, but we got a problem. 80% of our prescription drugs come from China, and globalization has caused a lot of problems. Now, they've gone after globalization more from the, well, it's better for the environment, you know, to do things locally and this kind of thing, and you know, not to move all of these natural resources around the globe. But, you know, globalization has all of a sudden run into a big problem. And there's a good article today on the Seeking Alpha about the business elite meeting in Davos. And of course, a lot of these companies are saying, you know, we're caught short here. If you want us to bring back production to America or whatever country, name the country, that's going to cause massive inflation and shortages. So we've kind of created a mess here that it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Yeah, and it's to me a lot of it's kind of you know, it's just common sense. I mean, you look at I was looking at the the baby formula issue, right? And I think, you know, 20 to 25% of the US's formula came from that one plant.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, simple math, right, just tells you, like, probably want to diversify just a little bit there,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, build a couple more plants. I don't care if they're smaller. I mean, geographically, they got to be in a different geographic location, and they've got to have separate operations.
But and then, you know, here's the other issue. It's all these countries in the globe don't get along with each other. Okay, all of a sudden China's mad at you, and they're cutting off something. India, you know, it's just every country's going to look out for themselves. And then you get a problem with Germany relying on Russian gas. Now Germany's making plans in case Russia cuts their gas. So here's what they're going to do. They're looking at 26 plants that they mothballed in Germany that exclusively burn coal and fuel oil. So they're... Four, you've got the coal stocks roaring, you've got the fuel oil stocks roaring, you got natural gas stocks taking off as they look to ramp up all of these plants that they shuttered. And Germany did end operations at three of its six remaining nuclear plants, and they intend to move forward with plans to shutter the remaining three. All right, and then in the meantime, here we'll close with this. The International Energy Agency is warning against investing in oil and gas production. What?
Yeah, there you go.
Read that one on Seeking Alpha. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with the NASDAQ down 420 points. That's 306. That's 3.66%. And the Dow is now down 500 points, giving up just about everything that it lost yesterday, which I warned could happen in my last note yesterday. You know, I got to go back to this just for a moment because this is pretty incredible. This is in Seeking Alpha today. The International Energy Agency, which has made some very curious statements over the last couple of years, they warn against investing in oil and gas production. And they are saying that the reason we're using so much oil and gas and the reason that prices are so high right now is the heat wave, which is a result of climate change. Okay, now I'm just quoting Seeking Alpha, whoever wrote this article, wherever it comes from. It says, that's an interesting statement given NASA's Global Land Ocean Temperature Index just measured its lowest annual reading since 2014. So I don't think that the heat wave is causing us to use more energy. I don't think that's the reason for the high prices. J.P. Morgan recently wrote a paper, 85% of the world's primary energy demand is met by fossil fuel. That's where we're at today, 85%. They said maybe by 2050, okay, that's a ways down the road, we'll be down to 66%. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big improvement, but we're still 66% of the world's energy is going to be met by fossil fuels in 2050. Well, not if the IEA has its way.
Yeah, which means you got to invest in new, you know, in new projects in that period of time. And of course, they what? And they're saying not to invest.
Yeah, they're saying not to invest. Okay, and they're blaming the Russian war. Well, don't let this war in Russia, you know, Germany and France, even though the pipeline's being cut off to you with your fuel. Don't go developing new areas and whatnot. And now, so here it is. The IEA is basically saying we have a choice as global citizens to reduce carbon and pay through the nose or to continue to, you know, not address climate change. So an all-above approach to meeting rising energy demand while mitigating the impacts of climate change has been broadly supported since it was introduced in 2014. However, calls to reduce fossil fuel investments in the face of record food and fuel prices could be a bridge too far for consumers and investors alike. Well, that's what we were talking about. There's got to be, I said, a 10-year bridge. It sounds like, according to J.P. Morgan here, they're going out over the next 30 years and still seeing a 66%. Are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot here? That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, it's all about supply side, policies, right? I mean, you've got to, the Fed, it doesn't matter. Countries around the world lowering interest rates or raising interest rates, right? Raising interest rates is not going to fix the inflation problem. You've got to have some type of investment supply side. It's the old. Supply side of the economic equation. You've got to increase supply versus tamping demand. You tamp demand, and we're all just going to not grow at all, right?
No. We've got decisions. I think the consumers will decide, hopefully, which way they want to go. Okay, so here's some stocks that stand out to me. Yesterday, this one had a huge day. SWN is a natural gas stock, which. That's pretty much where we are. We're staying carbon neutral in this debate. We're staying in that natural gas space. Southwestern Energy, SWN, with a relative strength of 98 and a PE of 7. Okay, that thing hit. That thing was up big yesterday. All the gas stocks are pulling back a little bit today after yesterday's big move. So, the risk to investing in oil, in energy stocks is regulations. That's the risk. The risk is not that the demand for oil is going to go down and we're going to have all be using solar 3 years from now. The risk is really the regulations and the green energy movement, whether or not they'll allow this to happen. So, therein lies the risk. But in the interim, prices keep going higher. I think natural gas hit, a 14-year high yesterday in natural gas prices. And it's like you said, Barry, it's not because supply is and demand are out of whack. It's the supply side of the equation that's out of whack right now.
It's the old supply side economics.
That's exactly right, and that's going to continue to drive prices higher. It's a choice. It's a choice at the election booth. It's a choice for people all over the globe. How they want to handle which takes priority here. Okay, the shipping stocks, they continue to sizzle. See, we're having diesel fuel refined in China and then shipped back to America. I don't see how that's good for the planet myself. Genco Shipping is right in the middle of that. Genco hit a new high yesterday. It has a relative strength of 98 and a P.E. ratio of 5, GNK. And Southwest Energy is SWN. So there you have. You have two sides of the street. You want to be on the Abercrombie & Fitch, Target, Walmart, Rossdoor side of the street, or do you want to be on the natural gas side of the street where those stocks are just continuing to take off? Anyways, if you'd like to talk with us, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You don't have to drive downtown and fight for a parking place. And fight the rush hour traffic or whatnot. We have a very casual, easy way of doing business. We've been an online, a virtual firm for a long time, way before Zoom ever came along. And we continue to do business that way. And we have clients all over America. And I'm working on a new article for Seeking Alpha. It looks like it's been a while. It looks like January. But we've been busy. We've had an excuse. But we'll have a new target price and a fresh look. We've already published in the newsletter. We've been way ahead of the analyst every week on dropping that target price, which this is the first time I've done it in 12 or 13 years. That's not a good sign. You can get the newsletter, last week's newsletter. See what the sunny side of the street is. See what the side of the street you want to avoid is. Go to GundersonCapital.com and get 2 free weeks of our client subscriber newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.